This is Natalie Hutchison with UN News. Gazans are scraping by on just 4 hours of electricity per day due to fuel shortages, a crisis which the UN Humanitarian Coordinator for the Occupied Palestinian Territory, Jamie McGoldrick, has called a terrible situation as winter months approach. On a recent visit to a local children's hospital, he witnessed power shutdown during an emergency operation, leaving patients in the dark for nearly a full minute before a generator powered on, and doctors hand-pumping oxygen into the lungs of children on life support. Mr. McGoldrick spoke to Reem Abaza of the UN News Arabic Service.
Well, the situation hasn't changed. It's gotten an awful lot worse because the fuel that we need for the generators to run the hospitals, to do the power plants, to keep the water and sanitation systems going, we don't have enough fuel to the end of the year. We've appealed for $2 million to make that happen. We're also trying to bring fuel into the Gaza power plant, and we're trying to do that so that we could generate power in a different way, using fuel in a different way. Using generators is not an effective way. Using turbines is the best way to use.
What is the main problem with the fuel? What is the main cause of this crisis? Is it access? Is it funding?
Well, it's a combination of many things. I mean, the emergency fuel for the generators, for the hospitals and clinics that we continue to keep going for life-saving issues, is something that we need money for. The problem right now with the Gaza power plant fuel is the fact that we have an access issue. We're trying to work with the parties to make sure we can bring the fuel in, and once we bring the fuel in, it can run for 6 months. And the idea to, right now, people have 4 hours of fuel a day. And that's a terrible situation. The winter's coming, so we're trying to put 4 extra hours, so that's 8 hours a day, so that people can live a semi-normal life. They can get their, you know, the fridges can work, the heaters can work, people can charge their mobile phones, kids can do the homework. Right now, all of those things are very, very difficult.
You visit Gaza on a regular basis. So what does it mean for someone? What does it mean for their health, education, and well-being to not have electricity more than like 4 hours a day?
Well, I'll tell you a story. I went to the Al-Ritza Hospital, which is a children's hospital, a pediatric hospital, a few weeks ago. And I went into the ward where the children are kept in an emergency ward. While I was there, the mains electricity, the 4 hours a day, stopped. And then the generator kicks in. I looked on my phone, it took 55 seconds for the generator to come on. In that time, the doctors had to hand pump the oxygen into the lungs of children on life support machines. And that's not one day, that's every day like that. There are people in hospital who can't go home because they need this support electricity. They don't have electricity at home. So people are stuck in the hospital for forever until the situation changes. And back home, people can't do the normal things like cook anytime they want, turn on the TV anytime they want, charge the phones anytime you want. So everybody's life is completely paralyzed by the lack of electricity and fuel.
You were quoted saying that 2018 was the worst when it comes to humanitarian funding. Is it still the case? How were your operations affected by this? And how does it look for 2019?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. I think the UNRWA issue is one where the funding for UNRWA has been cut by major donor. As a result of that, massive service cuts have taken place. UNRWA has been able to keep schools and clinics and the food supply to the population ongoing. However, on our side, the non-UNRWA funding is 30% funded this year to this point in time. We're the lowest level of countries throughout the world. And why should that be the case of Gaza, which is such a humanitarian disaster? And so what we need to try and do, we have to cut the services we deliver. We have to be more targeting to vulnerable. And we're not able to save the lives and save the livelihoods of people we should. And next year, it doesn't look any better because the donor situation, the funding climate, the geopolitical reality is still as bad as it was this year. In fact, it could even be worse. While the money stays the same or goes down, the needs go up. With the funding cuts to UNRWA, that makes it difficult for those people to be served support for food and food and water and health, and somebody else has to supply that. The money's just not there. And the humanitarians are struggling. Next year, we will struggle even more.
Are there any options that you can do to make people less dependent on aid? On, are there any options? What are the options
this? Well, in any context, what you want to do is get people off aid dependency. You want them not to be relying on humanitarian assistance. But the situation, the context is not conducive. Right now, there is no development activities in Gaza as deindustrialization is taking place. The country is, that part of the country is going backwards in terms of development. Unless we can change that and people can actually be less dependent on aid, we're going to have to keep feeding people, providing education to people. And they have no money themselves. The purchasing power of the average Gazan is nil. There are 70% of people under the age of 30 are unemployed. 53% is the general unemployment. And the recent World Bank report said that the economy of Gaza is in free fall. There is no hope in Gaza in terms of people being able to look after themselves. We need to be there to help them until they get to the next stage.
Gaza faces enormous problems. But how about the West Bank? Why do you think the news doesn't focus on the West Bank as it should be?
Well, I mean, in the Gaza context, it's a very severe humanitarian catastrophe and is getting worse. The Great March of Return since the 30th of March have made it very, very difficult. The stress on the systems are very, very powerful and very, they're undermining everything we can possibly do. On the other side, the West Bank, there are more issues regarding protection and rights and violations of rights issues that are going on there. We see the case with Khan al-Ahmar, which is this Bedouin village, which is under threat of demolition. There's been a court order given that they can be demolished anytime now. And so there's a lot of demonstrations, a lot of activism to try and prevent that.
Could you please explain this part for our audience?
Sure.
When we are talking about 100 people, 150 people, why is it very important for OCHA to step in and talk about it?
Well, I mean, Khan al-Ahmar is a Bedouin village. There's 40 other villages like this in the West Bank. They are people who've been living there for decades. They've got a very herdsmen, they live off their animals, their livestock. And the reason why it's so important is because if they get forcibly transferred away from where they are based, I think it's an international law violation, but also it's part and parcel of the expansion of settlements. And the problem is that if it happens in all of these cases, then the contiguity and the possibility of a two-state solution will be challenged because the West Bank will be cut in half with these new settlements, which will go from East Jerusalem all the way across to Jericho.
Thank you so much. Is there anything else you would like to highlight or to add a final message to the people in the occupied Palestinian territory?
No, I mean, for me, it's like we, the international community, are trying our best. I mean, the humanitarian situation always loses out over politics. And the politicians have to come to the table and look at reconciliation as a real option. It's the only option because we are struggling to do the humanitarian work because of the funding crisis and the needs that are growing. So we implore the politicians to come to the table and to come up with a solution that will make it easier for the average citizen in Gaza and the West Bank to have a decent life.